Garrett with UT, and I'd like to call to order the Gatton Technical Subcommittee meeting for April 20th, 2021. The time now is 1:30 PM. Let's start out with a roll call, please.
My name is Sarah Eichelberger, and I'll call the roll. Frank Ammons, Gatton.
Present.
Carlos DeMatos, Gatton.
Present.
Ruben Reyes, City of Austin.
Present.
Bo Kinsey, Travis County.
Present.
Jaime Guerra, UT.
Present.
Mace Royston, LCRA.
Present.
Harold Knoll, UT.
Present.
Steve Pyle, DIR.
Present.
And Chris Gonzalez, BRICOM.
Present.
And I'm just admitting Gary Wiesman, one moment.
Sure.
And Gary, we're calling the roll right now, so I'm going to call you next. Gary Wiesman, Austin Community College.
Here.
And I see we have Anthony Breckenridge, City of Austin.
Present.
And we also have a guest, Kotin Harmon from City of Austin.
Yes, ma'am. I'm here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We've established a quorum.
Okay. We'll get to the agenda item for Kotin in a minute. Is there, moving on to the agenda item number two, citizens communication. Is there any thing that the public would wish to communicate? All right, hearing none, let's move on to the agenda item number three. Let's take a few minutes to review the minutes from our technical subcommittee meeting from March 23rd, 2021.
Just Gary, motion to approve the minutes as presented.
This is Steve, I second.
This is Jaime. We've got a motion and a second to approve the minutes. Any further discussion? All right, hearing none, let's have a vote.
This is Sarah, and I'll call the vote. Steve Pyle.
Aye.
Ruben Reyes.
Aye.
Jaime Guerra.
Aye.
Gary Wiesman.
Aye.
Bo Kinsey.
Aye.
And Mace Royston.
Aye.
The minutes are approved.
Okay, moving on in the agenda. Agenda item number four, committee chairperson's update. 4A, we have a presentation of such from the City of Austin Telecommunications and Regulatory Affairs. Kotan, if you'd like to introduce yourself and kind of explain what you're working on.
Yes, absolutely. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for making time for me on your agenda. I can understand how pressed everyone is for time, so I'm grateful for the opportunity to be here. I am Kotan Shahbazi Harman. I am the 2021 Leadership Austin Fellow for Digital Inclusion at the City of Austin. It is a fellowship. Sorry about that. I lost my headphone. It is a fellowship that is 1 year, and it resides at Leadership Austin. It is underwritten by San Davis Foundation, and it is at the disposal and service of City of Austin and the Telecommunications and Regulatory Affairs as they look at digital inclusion for all citizens in Austin. And I have some slides, but I am not good on this platform. I know how to do Zoom. So how do I share my slides? I thought maybe that would be helpful. If not, I can just talk through them. So I am. Yes.
Yeah. So hold on. This is Frank. Yes. So
hi, Frank.
Hi. How are you doing?
Fine. Thank you.
Okay. So if you go, if you look at the top right hand corner where you see the button that says leave.
Yes.
Okay. Just to the left of it, there's an arrow up. Looks like a folder.
Okay.
Hover over it. It'll allow you to share content.
Oh, I see.
And then go ahead and click on it.
Okay.
And then what I would suggest is sharing your desktop view.
Okay. Let's see, it is thinking. It's thinking. Oh dear. Let me see if I can. Yeah, it's still thinking. It's not quite sure. I can just walk through it. It's all right. I appreciate that. I don't want to take too much time. Yeah, Frank, it's just doing that thinking round and round.
It's interesting.
So I'm on a Mac. I don't know if that makes a difference.
It should.
Okay. So I'm happy to go through with you. It is operation error, I'm afraid. It's my challenge. So basically how we got here was that City of Austin was looking for insights on lived experience from Austin residents to see what was happening during COVID. And what they realized was that during COVID, a lot of Austinites were having a challenge accessing, having affordable, reliable broadband to be able to access online information for the services that they needed. Everything from the homework gap with our students in schools, as well as our dear elderly friends who were isolated at home and did not have access for healthcare needs, even groceries, working on utilities, to workforce, the friends who had lost their jobs in Austin, did not have or were not able to afford to connect online, and was very hard for them to use devices, handheld devices like a phone, in order to find a job, connect externally. So those are just some of the three examples of what they were looking at. They have experience from city-supported projects and City of Austin Digital Inclusion Strategic Plan. They wanted to know how to pivot around the impact of COVID-19, and this fellowship came about. It is it has three goals and deliverables. One is to check and see, for every dollar spent by an Austin citizen, are they getting a dollar's worth of internet connectivity? And so that's anything from speed tests, looking around the city and saying in various zip codes, what kind of service is being offered. There are some very strange things happening in Austin, like a donut, where services are being provided in certain areas and in the middle section. Those Austinites who are unable to afford and sustain subscription do not have access to reliable broadband, whereas others around them are. So we're trying to figure out what's exactly going. A lot of data gathering, a lot of trying to gain insight from both users, subscribers, as well as service providers of what's really going on. The second part is to look at models that might be useful in Austin for reliable, affordable broadband connectivity. I have been able to look at so far, this started in January. So in the past 3 months, looking at things like Silicon Harlem is doing some interesting work. City of Detroit is doing some really interesting work, looking at Portland and examples that they've had. Interestingly enough, Rio Grande Valley, South Texas, is doing some really innovative work around this. I'm looking at Houston, Dallas, San Antonio has a program around homework gap in particular. We're looking at that. The Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas has some very interesting initiatives. So looking and seeing with the particular requirements and what we're allowed to do and not allowed to do, what the limitations are based on legislation, that what can we actually offer within the city of Austin? And excuse me, the third is perhaps the most challenging part, and that is stakeholder engagement. So trying to figure out, this is such a big project, trying to figure out how do we break it down and then who should be involved in this? And initially we started, my understanding, and now I have to let you know that I'm learning. Currently, I know what I don't know. Before, I didn't even know what I didn't know. Now I'm aware of what I don't know and trying to understand where to go to get the data so that and have the conversations in order to gain deeper insight. I'm trying very hard to maintain a posture of learning so that I don't very quickly come up with a solution or help facilitate a solution. I need to understand a lot of data boarding is what I'm calling it, getting loads and loads of data to see what are the patterns, what's the trend, how are things being used, where are the opportunities, where are the challenges, where are the gaps. And so initially we were, and through conversation with various stakeholders, one in particular who are the CIOs who got together and they actually helped create this fellowship. I had an initial conversation with them and the communications, telecommunications commission and commissioners in the city of Austin. And they were able to help frame it in a very interesting and user-friendly way for me, which is divided into three horizons. So horizon one would be very immediate, low-hanging fruit. What can we do in order to keep the project moving? And now, especially with funding that is coming through the Biden plan for infrastructure development, through federal government, through state, through county, through city, what can we do in order to utilize those funds in order to continue with the services, to deepen those services, widen those services? COVID really showed us from the data I'm able to see and the lived experience that is being shared from the community, both qualitative and quantitative data is showing that COVID was an interesting fault line to show what's working and where the gaps are. And so if those gaps exist, they're continuing to exist post-COVID, and then of course Snowvid happening, and then everybody in Austin, not only our most vulnerable citizens, but everyone, almost everyone, losing connectivity. And that was driven home a little bit more for all of us. And so what are those low-hanging fruit of collaboration that we can move on? Second is the second horizon, or horizon two. And that's where we need more collaboration, more consultation, more advice seeking with each other, aligning more the goals, objectives, resources to see. That's going to take somewhere, who knows, maybe 2 to 5 years. We're not sure. We're experimenting with everything. Is that the right timeline? Not sure. We're just exploring ideas. And then the moonshot, the horizon three, which is going to take 5 to 10 years. And that's going to be something that might require legislative change or different policies or agreements or rethinking what we want to do as a city, where are we headed? So those seem to be the three buckets. We also try to figure out who should be involved in this work. And initially, it seemed to be three groups. It was the business community, because they have a lot of stake in Austin remaining a very vibrant city, the economics underpinning, ensuring that there is a future-ready workforce. They are very concerned about getting in and piloting things very quickly. They're a little bit impatient, which is actually a very good thing because they hold everybody else in this creative tension. And then the other group is government. So at the local, at city level, county level, state level, federal level, whatever that alignment is for the city of Austin. And of course, that includes a feasibility study, safety studies. Is this the right thing? Are we choosing the right technologies? Is this the right way? What do we need to do? So, and then the third group initially was the civil society. So all the nonprofits, service providers within that group. After looking at examples of Detroit and Harlem and San Antonio and trying to figure out what's the continuum, it's interesting that two other groups really emerged. So it went from a triangle to what we're calling the Lone Star. So it's a five-pointed star. So it's actually a very good sort of a mental model to help us understand who should be engaged. The fourth group is actually, where can we incubate ideas? Where can ideas become just political neutral, financial neutral, just neutral technology? Where can we begin to look at and ask questions in a way that doesn't trigger a lot of challenges in the discourse? And that seems to be research and education in terms of higher ed, whether it is UT or ACC or St. Edward's or HT for our community, somewhere where we have the opportunity to actually incubate ideas before we pilot them. And then the fifth part of that sort of Lone Star state is the community. Because what I am, and I would love to hear your thoughts about this, whether we do it here or I'm happy to connect with you all one-on-one. I love to learn from you. I'm in the listen and learn mode at this point. Is, are we solving solutions for the system or are we solving solutions for the community? And I'm getting sort of both sides of that equation in terms of answers. So are we creating systems, maintaining systems that are wonderful, have been functioning great, and we're saying everyone has to align with that? Or are we able to do that and look at what's coming down the pike and prepare for whatever that is? So that's why the fifth part of that star is the community. And the community, is this driven by the community and community needs? Or is the community part of an advisory group that gives feedback? Are they part of ideation? Are they part of the incubation? Are they part of the design? Are they part of resource allocation? Are they part of the decision making? As a community, what does that mean? Question mark. How do we do that? And then, or is it that they just advise and say, yeah, that's a good idea. No, it's not a good idea. So let me stop there. And I would love to, Frank, I don't know, you and Jaime, please give me guidance on what to do next.
Yeah, so this is Frank. So we've met with Jaime, and I met with Utan, and I've met with her separately previous to that. And so we went over, I've gone over with her the history of Gatton, who cannot be involved with it, the reason for it, and, you know, the flagship network that it's known for. And so she's underneath that understanding. She thought that she would like to come speak to the tech committee because as individual entities, there may be initiatives taking place within your organizations where this would be beneficial. Travis County, Utah, just so you know, is not present today.
Okay.
That may be one of the members that may be interested in what your, you know, what the goal is, the initiative here is with the city of Austin. And so, you know, I'll have to circle back to, and that's actually the board chairperson, okay. But I'll circle back to them with the introduction of you and him.
Thank you.
And so, you know, from the original conversations we've had, you know, as far as what Gatton can and can't allow on the network, it doesn't sound like we're, as Gatton, we'd be able to participate unless some legislation or some laws changed. So, and I've gone over that with Sid as well. And, but from a entity standpoint, I thought maybe that, it would be nice for you, each one of you to meet this City of Austin representative and make contact and network work with her and your own initiatives.
Thank you. That sounds wonderful. Gatton is such a jewel as I do my research and I realize what you all have created, if my current understanding is true, since 1993 and the amount of investment that the partners have made in terms of creating this remarkable network. The more I learn about it, the more I have certain questions to better understand it. And just, I think there's so much to learn from you all, from what you have done to develop and maintain this network and helping me understand. I have no technical knowledge, so whatever you are able to share with me really helps me and my learning in how to approach this. I want to make sure that that part of it, I'm beginning to see, as Frank was saying, and Jaime also explained in our meeting, where the limitations are for this particular network. But I would love to have the opportunity to speak with each of you, if it's at all possible, to learn from you more directly about how you're engaged and some of the services that you all are offering and to gain a better understanding.
Yeah, this is Jaime Catan. I would add that you should probably have Frank introduce you to John Comorgan with AISD, because I believe they are interested in this type of initiative as well.
Thank you. That would be great. Thank you.
Let's see. Do any of the tech committee members have any questions for Catan at this time?
I do not. This is Ruben with the City of Austin.
Hi, Ruben. Thank you.
Hello, Catan.
Good to see you. Or hear you.
Yes.
Well, doesn't sound like there's any questions at this time, Catan. Is there anything else you'd like to add? If not, you're welcome to listen into the rest of the meeting, except if we need to go to executive session, which I don't think we do, but okay. It's up to you.
Thank you. I'm so grateful to you and Jaime for including me in this today. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank appreciate you. We'll be in touch.
Thank All you. Right.
Thank you. All righty. Let's proceed in our agenda. We can look into agenda item 4B, project timelines regarding Austin Energy and fiber lead times.
Yeah, so this is Frank, and let me get to that document. Bear with me here. Okay. Sorry, guys, just hold on one second here. I had so many items pulled up at once. Okay, so as requested in the recent SLA in February, and then also in some discussion in the last board meeting, we've produced a Gatton project process timeline for your review. And what this illustrates is through the work, it shows factual information regarding project process timeline in reference to Austin Energy and working with them. So what we've done is, you'll see in your handouts, item 4B is going to show a flow chart. Which gives a breakdown by counted by weeks. And if you'll just review that, you've got the project approved by board, which kicks off, and then all the way down to splicing and testing. So through references that we made through each project through the AE portal and also working with our vendors, we've assessed that it takes a typical average for Gatton projects to be completed from the date it's approved by the board is 39 to 57 weeks. So I think that's vital, and that's what the members were after as far as when we approve projects or when we're working on budget items for projects, to keep that in mind. The rule of thumb is going to be 39 to 57 weeks. So if everyone could just remember that. Now, there are some caveats to that, and I'm going to show you an example. Down below, this is a flow chart for an A1N upgrade segment 5. This one fell well within that window of the 39 to 57 weeks. this is what we're seeing across the board for the, you know, the majority of the projects. But then you have the caveat down below it, which shows a flow chart for Super Ring North permanent repair, Camino La Costa. And you'll note this one took 79 weeks. And the caveat within that project itself is we had to wait, the contractor had to wait for a new AE pole to be placed to submit the permit application, which is what put us at 33 weeks for that portion of the project. So you can see this one took 79 weeks total. So I think you can rest assured that on average, it's going to be between 39 and 57 weeks, but there will be caveats such as the one on the bottom of the page that could take up to 79 weeks. I know it makes harder for planning, but I'm hopeful that you knowing that the 39 to 57 week average is what we should be basing our decisions off of, in my opinion, and you should feel comfortable in doing so. Are there any questions?
Hey, Frank, this is Jaime. I was, when we were reviewing the minutes from the last meeting, I had noted that I think I had asked a question about the lead time for fiber, and I think right now it's around 28 weeks. Is material procurement something we need to add to this flow chart?
I think that's a good idea. I don't think we have to, because if you look even if at a standard process timeline that we have presented on the top of the page, if you look where the 29 to 47 weeks fall from the AE initial permit review to the AE approval to the right, to the right-of-way permit, our fiber is going to come in plenty of time for that.
Okay.
Any other questions?
This is Jaime. I think this is good information to appropriately set people's expectations on how long some of these things are going to take.
I agree.
All right. If there's no questions for Frank on this flowchart, then we can move on the agenda. Agenda item 4C, Gatton Advanced 1 Bentley drafting process.
Yes, so this is Frank, and this one was a request as well, just to bring everybody up to speed on how we're doing with this, the process of it. And I think this is probably going to benefit the newest members the most. So, just bear with me here. I'm going to walk through this one. So it's in your handouts, it's 4C, and you're going to see on here which initiates when we get as-built for a project that's been completed in the last month. It goes to the SFTP within the first week of each month. So, we get in our as-builts, we verify they're correct, accurate, we process invoices. Okay, and then we've got these as-builts first week of each month. They go into the SFTP site, and then at Advance 1, from there, Advance 1 has 5 business days to draft or respond with questions to the contractor who completed the work. Often there's going to be questions involved. We've seen that, and it takes a little while to get those questions asked and then answered. So if questions are asked, contractor has 5 business days to respond to Advance 1. Once the questions are received, Advance 1 has 5 business days to complete the drafting. Once the answers are received, I should say. And then update A1 and updates their ESRI file for dig test or Texas 811/USIC, which is important to our locate process if the projects involve underground. And the exports are updated to MAPS, CPV, KMZ, and WG style, and which posts to the SFTP site. And the final last step is management uploads the ESRI file to Texas 811 and USIC portals. And we upload them in these three type of files as well to the Gatton SharePoint site. That's the entire flow and the entire process. And, especially for the gentlemen or the members in the room that have been around for a while, we, how this used to be and what we've gotten it to. And It seems like we're getting even closer and closer and closer to a well-oiled process here. Are there any questions?
Frank, this is Jaime. So is this requirement of 5 days, is that what we have in our agreement with Advanced One?
That's correct.
Okay. And then, so for example, the kind of tying into our next agenda item, the tie cables, if entities are providing you with some as-builts for those, it should probably take about a month process to get it into Bentley.
Not necessarily, but yeah, I think a month is a good rule of thumb. And I just want to back up and say, in the contract, it calls out 10 business days, not five. And so what we've done is we've done five on either side of the window, if that makes sense to you, so that we get it in within 10 days. Then it allows Advance One to adhere to the contract as well. But yeah, you're correct. 1 month is a good rule of thumb for that.
Okay.
Any other questions? Okay.
All right, let's move on the agenda. Agenda item, 4D, GATT and tie cable by entity list.
Okay, so for this one, so the GATT, this is Frank, and the GATT members have reviewed the list that I've sent out to them. And they've commented or edited the list. There's a couple members I didn't get an answer from at all. So I am to assume that they, you know, don't have an update to it and that everything looks correct on it. We've received several updates, and we need to make and we'll update, verify while verifying within Bentley and report back. Hopefully we can get this done by the upcoming tech meeting. And that's our plan. It's going to take us a little while to work through Bentley and the tie cable reports. One entity in particular had a long list of changes that I haven't even shared with the team yet. I've been kind of going through it myself a little bit, and I'll be getting that out to our network management team to do the edits on the actual spreadsheet itself that I'd sent out. So a little bit of legwork to do on this, but we should have it wrapped up here by the next tech meeting and present it.
Okay, thanks for that update, Frank.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions on the tie cable list for Frank? All right, moving on. Agenda item 4E, Gatton Disaster Recovery Subcommittee update.
Okay, for this one, the subcommittee met week before last, and actually it was on the 13th. So we had a successful meeting, in my opinion. In the meeting, the subcommittee consists of Mace, myself, and Jaime, and the key items that we're looking at is remote meeting access. We have a City of Austin bridge that may be available to us. I'm looking into that. Another bullet point is we need to establish the fact that someone has to have authority to call a declaration of emergency. So we're going to be speaking to the board in regards to that, and see if there is a policy or a cover page for the disaster recovery plan itself that would include that, which seems ideal to have and for purpose. Also, with the extreme cold weather event that we just went through, that Texas just went through, we want to make sure we're covering that in disaster recovery. We discussed it. The next bullet point is emergency budget access by the network manager and both chairs or chair alternates. So that's in the event that something catastrophic takes place and it's outside of the network manager's spending authority, whether or not the network manager would be approved with the board second, or however we need to work that. That's going to be another conversation with the board. Next bullet point is we're doing an emergency priority matrix for Gatton. This is going to be something the members who have been around for a while, the last time we worked on this was in 2011, if I'm not mistaken. This is going to be most pertinent services and the fibers ranked. So this is where, just so the tech committee knows, this is where in 2011 it was a bit of a hiccup, because it was really hard for the members to congeal and work together on the fact that does public safety comes first, EMS stations, fire stations, police departments, And those, you know, will take priority, but you also have hospitals in there, healthcare facilities. So there's a lot that goes into that. There's going to be a matrix that I will be sending out as soon as I work it through the subcommittee, make sure they're on the same page, that we're all three on the same page. So keep an eye out for that. And the other one, this is an older one that we've talked about before, and we're going to delve back into it. So the last bullet point is what members have access to construction equipment, splicing and testing equipment. So we're gathering this information as a subcommittee. And lastly, what we're looking into is the possibility of the City of Austin County or LCRA and working with us in particular on outsourcing to a Gatton member or third party, those being either the City of Austin County or LCRA. And if not, we're not able to do that, to outsource, possibly go out for an RFP for the build and finalization of a full disaster recovery plan. So I don't know, I just want to take it, if you have any questions or any thoughts on what I just said, that's the update to where we're at and what we're doing. And that's the plan moving forward, and you'll hear more about it as we continue to do so. We're going to be meeting every other week for the next 4 weeks. So I don't anticipate anything coming into the next board meeting, the May board meeting, but I do anticipate discussion beginning in June with the board.
Okay. This is Jaime. Thanks for that update, Frank. Does anyone have any questions or comments in regards to the development of the disaster recovery plan? All right, let's move on the agenda. Agenda item number 5, the maintenance contractor's report.
This is Chris Gonzalez from Brycon. Since our last meeting, we completed the inspections of D1N and Super Ring North. Between the two rings, there were 17 corrected deficiencies. There's nothing out of the normal report on these two rings. Please let me know if you have any questions. Okay, hearing none, I'll move on to the inventory report. As of last month, there's no changes to the inventory.
Okay. Thanks for that update, Chris. Seems like business as usual for the maintenance contract. Any questions for Chris? Okay, let's move on to agenda item 6, Gatton Network Manager's Report. 6A, Gatton Backup NOC Status Update.
Okay, for this one, we're on schedule. You've all seen the schedule. I'll have a new schedule to the board prior to the next board meeting. And the only change internally that we've been working on is just to update you, and we've discussed this previously, we've held an internal meeting at the City of Austin in regards to the City of Austin's data center group, and those folks, Ruben also attended that meeting with me, and we went over generator maintenance, card access, you know, door access, convention center security. There's a lot of details that we went over as a CTM group, and I'm currently in the process of setting up a meeting with Public Works, Convention Center, CTM, NIO, and CTM DCO to talk about the roles and responsibilities for each of those items. So other than that, we've got some internal work we're doing. Once we get the responsibilities lined out, I'll come back and speak to you all about that and how we're going to proceed. It's a lot of badge access, CBI, scrubbing badges, you know, that whole type of process. I'm sure you're all familiar with it, but that's just getting worked out between the security group and CTM, basically. So we'll come back to you with that. Everything else is on schedule. We do have pictures if you'd like to see them. If we do so, we would have to go into executive session to see the pictures, but you're not going to see much from the last ones you looked at. I can tell you it's just brick and mortar right now and some iron work going on.
This is Jaime. I think I'm good without proceeding without seeing pictures. Anyone from the tech committee disagree?
No, this is Steve. Frank, Sarah, is there any way you guys could post those on the SharePoint just so we could look at them on occasion?
Yeah. So this is Frank. Yes, so I got that down as an action item. We'll do, okay. Steve.
Thanks.
All right, let's move on the agenda. 6B, project status report.
Okay, let me get to that. Sorry, I was writing that down. Here we go. Okay, so you can see from the active projects, we've had, we've got several on the books right now to be completed, and I'll just read them off to you here. It's B1 South Place case audit that's ongoing right now. It's in progress, taking place. The A1, you're starting to see some A1N upgrade projects that we're getting scheduled. As a reminder, the only ones that I believe we're not going to complete this fiscal year are 2 and 11, segment 2 and 11. And for segment 13, segment 5, and segment 3, they're scheduled out in front of you as such. One thing you want to note is we did split segment 3 into two phases because of the length of it and what all it's going to take with the splicing. We've got several mid-sheath cases on this run that are going to require, you know, two sets of splicing, two separate days. So that's, we are eliminating one real case with the project, so that's always good. But with the length of this project and the amount of mid-sheath splices that are going to take place, it's better to do it over the course of 2 days versus one. So, and it's less risk to the network. That's it for active projects and that we have scheduled coming up for now. Let me get to the next sheet here. So we have this completed projects. We had these Supering North permit repair at Camino La Costa. That's the one I referenced in the other handout as well, the one that took so long and the reason why. And then we have B2 South SH Highway 71 relocation east of Highway 130 and Ross Road. And if, I don't know if everyone remembers or not, that's been a long time in the making. So we're good to go there. And for entity specific projects, we have the D1N John Chase building on Navasota. It's an active project. You'll see it's scheduled out. As a matter of fact, we need to move that one up. It just completed. So sorry about that. It's completed since the handouts went out. You can actually consider this one a entity specific completed project as of today or as of now. This notification. And that's it. That's all I have for this this meeting's update on the project status. Are there any questions in regards?
All right, this is Jaime. I don't hear any questions, so let's move on to 6C, the job budget report.
This is Sarah. There haven't really been any changes to this report since the last meeting. We're still tracking 36 jobs totaling $1.8 million. We're expecting to recover $276,000 of that. The only recovery we haven't received so far is for the TxDOT project, but we do expect to recover that fully by the end of the fiscal year. And by the May 4th board meeting, we should have a pretty solid idea of which jobs will complete by the end of the fiscal year and how much we're going to be paying for the jobs that will not complete by the end of the fiscal year. So that's all I have. Let me know if you have any questions.
All right, this is Jaime. Doesn't sound like there's any questions today for the job budget report. Thank you for that, Sarah. Moving on in the agenda, we don't have any items for executive session, so we'll go down to the final agenda item number 8. We'll confirm the date, time, and location for the next technical subcommittee meeting as May 18th, 2021, 1:30 p.m. via teleconference. The time now is 2:14 p.m. in this meeting.